Praise the Lord for the victory that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory not only for salvation, but victory in this life, in the great victory that is in Him when He comes for us to take us home to be with Him. Victory for the Christian from beginning to end is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not found in the world. It's not found anywhere else, but it's found in Him. We live with Him and stay in right relationship with Him. Victory can be ours. One day, the final victory will be given to us through Him when He comes to take us and give us a glorious body like unto His. And He'll change this vile body and give us a body like unto His. Amen? That'll be the ultimate. That'll be the highest of highs. Amen? That'll be a trip to go on to never come down. Amen? Never return, and there'll be no flashbacks on that one. There'll be no bad times. It'll be a good trip. One day we'll go with the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin to read in verse 1. Matthew 15 and verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now you understand that these Pharisees were real big people. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ had been teaching them from the Word of God and had been giving them things that He Himself had said, and they get upset because the disciples weren't washing their hands before they sat down to eat. And notice in verse 3, But He answered and said unto them, nice, notice how nice He is to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we thank You tonight for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord, for sparing our life another day, letting us live and come back to meet together. We thank You, Lord, for giving us freedom for one more day that we can meet together, Lord, and sing praises unto Thy name and look into Your book and read the things that are in it. And Lord, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would come and meet with us in a real way. Lord, we realize tonight that all we do is utterly empty and vain unless the Holy Spirit of God comes and gives life to this service tonight. And we pray for that Holy Spirit to come. We pray that every demon, every evil or foul spirit, and any spirit that would work contrary to Thee would be put down and put aside and put out of the way. And that we pray tonight that through the name and the power of our Savior and through the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, You'd cover this assembly tonight. Remove anything or any evil that would tend to work contrary to Thee. And Lord, may Your Holy Spirit move and work tonight. May the windows of heaven be open and pour out a blessing upon our souls tonight. We need Thee, Lord, to feed us. We need Thee, Lord, to minister to us. And Lord, I realize that I'm incapable, unworthy, undeserving to even stand and open this book. And I pray that, Lord, as I do, that You would take the Holy Spirit that's inside of me and use me tonight as an instrument of righteousness in Thy hand to bring honor and glory to Your name. Guide the words of my mouth. And Lord, may I say just the things You'd have me to say. And Lord, speak to the hearts of people that are here tonight, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees who had came to accuse Him, and the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord usually gave an answer to fit the person that was asking Him the question. If somebody came to the Lord Jesus Christ and was sincere and needed help, the Lord took time with them, and the Lord was compassionate upon them, and gave him a kind, loving answer. But if the person that came to the Lord Jesus Christ was a dishonest skeptic or a liar, then the Lord answered them accordingly. And of course, these men came, and they were so big that they got upset about people not washing their hands before they eat. I've said it many times, and I believe it's true. Big people get upset over big things, and little people get upset over little things. And I believe that these Pharisees were mighty little people. If all they could find fault with the disciples was that they didn't wash their hands before they eat, then they were people who were just picking and looking to try to find any fault they can. And the Lord answered them and said, "Ye hypocrites." And he spoke to them and said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you." And I call your attention to verse 8 and what the Lord Jesus Christ said. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Tonight I'd like to bring a message that I call, "My heart is just not in it." How many times do you ever hear anybody say that? How many times do you ever hear somebody say, "My heart is just not in it"? Well, you know, whenever a person says something like that, 9 times out of 10, what they're getting ready to do will be a failure, or they'll be unhappy in what they're doing. You know why? Because the secret to Christian service and to Christian life is having your heart right between you and God. The trouble with most Christian people is not their head. They don't have enough up there to get in trouble. Amen? Somebody said you got to have a head to get ahead, and of course that's true. The trouble with most Christian people is their heart. A preacher one time said, "The heart of the trouble is the heart." And if we had to look to one thing tonight, as Christian people, that got us into more trouble than anything else, or kept us in a right relation more than anything else, it would be our heart and our relationship to the Lord. Now tonight when I speak about your heart, I'm not talking necessarily about the organ that's inside of you that pumps the blood through your body. You've got more sense than that to know that when the Bible speaks of a person's heart as in that way, they're speaking of the things that that person loves, their emotions, their feelings. Even the physician who was a surgeon, Bernard Christian, the fellow who did the first heart transplants, they invited him one time to sit the United Nations, and when he got done, they interviewed him and asked him what was wrong with the United Nations. He said, "The trouble with the United Nations is they need a heart transplant." And he said, "The trouble with them is they need a new heart." And he said, "I'm not talking about a new organ." He said, "They need a new attitude, and they need a new outlook, and they need a new concept on what life is really all about." And, you know, when he said that, many people, of course, kind of looked. But anybody that has any sense realizes that the heart is not necessarily just an organ, but it speaks of your emotions, your feelings, the things that you love, what you really are, what excites you, what stirs you, what motivates you in this life. In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "There are some people that draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Tonight I'm afraid that a lot of people in this world are like that. They give the Lord Jesus Christ lip service, but their heart is far from him. I read something one time that I never forgot, and it touched me. David Livingston, who was a missionary to Africa, went there and of course lived among the black people and told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, carried the gospel to many of them for the first time to ever hear and ever hear of the Lord and Savior. Took the Bible to them, translated Scripture. David Livingston was even, what you might say, an explorer, a man who did exploration, found things that nobody else had ever found, went to people that nobody else had ever went to. When David Livingston died, he had a strange request. And his request was that his heart would be cut out and buried in Africa. When David Livingston died, they brought his body back to England and buried his body in England. But when he died, and at the same time they were burying his body in England, a black preacher named Jacob Wainwright was over in Africa standing at a tree having a ceremony and burying David Livingston's heart. Somebody asked him, said, "Why would such a strange request be made?" He said, "Because I want those people to know that there is one person on the face of this earth that loves them with all their heart." You know what David Livingston said? He said, "My heart is there among those people where the Lord has put me, and I love them, and I want them to know that." I wonder tonight if the Lord was to take our hearts and bury it where it is, I wonder where our heart would be found tonight. A lot of people's hearts would be in their billfold, amen? That'd look weird, amen? That'd look different. A lot of people's hearts would never get outside of their own body because they're so much in love with themselves that they can't see anybody else. I wonder if the Lord was to take your heart and cut it out, if He was to put it where your heart is, where the things are tonight that you love, I wonder where your heart would be. Tonight I'd like to speak to you tonight about a few things in regards to our heart. The first thing that we need is we need a clean heart. We need a clean heart. One of the most important things that anybody has is to have a clean heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful, wicked. The Bible says that that heart is desperately wicked, it's evil. The Bible said that the heart of man is the reason why he does a lot of things in this world, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, tonight, if you're lost and without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what your trouble is. You have a heart that is dirty and is black with sin, and you need to come to Jesus Christ and let the blood of Jesus Christ give you a new, clean heart. You know what the trouble is with lost people? I'll tell you, their heart is dirty. They have a dirty heart. Their heart is black with sin. Their heart is black with deceit. Their heart is black with wickedness. And what they need is a clean heart. I often amaze at Dr. Ruckman, who tells of a young lady who had got saved up north, who was very naive, was the only Christian in the family. And what was her name? Ruthie, is that it? Ruthie? And said that she's about 15 or 16 years old and lived for the Lord and didn't know much about life. Her two older brothers or brothers were lost and lived wicked and did things that were wrong. And he said one time he was kidding her and asked, he said, "What do you reckon is wrong with your two brothers? Why do you reckon they act like they do? Why do you reckon that they live like they do?" You know what the girl said? She said, old Brother Ruckman said, "They just got a dirty heart. They just got a dirty heart." You know what's wrong, some of you tonight? I'll tell you what's wrong. You just got a dirty heart. Amen? You can't help the way you act because you got a dirty heart. And until you've been saved and born again, and the blood of Jesus Christ has made that heart clean, your heart will remain dirty until the day you die. Listen, the Bible tells us that David, when he prayed, he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." If you're lost tonight and never been saved, your heart is dirty and filthy with the sins that you've sinned, and you need to come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to wash that heart and make it clean. But you know, when David prayed that, David knew the Lord. When David said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me," David knew the Lord and knew Him in a personal way, which tells us that even after we're saved, our heart can get dirty and need to be cleansed. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In the same passage where we read, the Bible said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with one unwashed hands defileth not a man." Jesus said it wasn't what goes in a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. It's what's inside, his heart. And some of us tonight are saved, but our heart is filled with unconfessed, unforgiven, and unforsaken sin, and it's dirty, and we need to get it clean. You know, a preacher one time said, was a pastor of a church, and he detested any kind of deceit, and he had a clock that didn't work right. The clock was always too fast. So he put a little sign by the clock, and the sign said, "Don't blame my hands, the trouble lies deeper." Don't blame my hands, the trouble lies deeper. And you know, tonight some of you got some hands that have been doing some things that they shouldn't be doing. Some feet that have been walking some places they ought not to go. Some mouths that have been saying some things they ought not to say. And the trouble is not what's went inside of you. And the trouble is not your hands, not your feet, not your mouth. The trouble lies deeper. It's down in your heart. The first thing we need is we need a clean heart. Is your heart clean? Is it? Is your heart clean? Have you confessed your sins to God? Have you asked God to forgive you of those sins? Have you tried the best of your ability to forsake those sins? Those things will stand between you and God. Those things will keep your heart dirty so that you cannot live right with God. When you have sins that are not confessed, when you have sins that have not been forgiven, when you have sins that you have not made an opportunity to forsake, those sins will stand between you and God. The Bible said we need a clean heart. You know, there's nothing any better than to have a clear conscience and a clean heart. Amen? Nothing any better to have a heart that is clean, sins that are confessed, things that you've asked God to forgive, things that you've tried to forsake, and to come with a clean heart. The Bible said that a lot of people are giving lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ, but their heart is far from Him. Why? Because their heart is dirty. They led one time one of the martyrs to the chopping block, laid him there in the chopping block, got the big ceremony and all the people together and laid him down there. As they laid him on the chopping block, the executioner bent over and said to him, he said, "Is your head lying all right?" In other words, the executioner is trying to be funny, trying to get the Christian, you know, trying to get him upset. He said, "Is your head lying all right?" You know, getting ready to chop it off. You know, the Christian looked at up at the fellow that was getting ready to cut his head off, and he said, "It matters little, my friend, how my head lies when my heart is right." And you know what? Instead of the executioner getting him, he got him. Amen. He said, "It doesn't matter how my head is. It doesn't matter how it lies when everything is right inside." And brother, that's the secret to Christian life and Christian service. The things around in this world will be affected by the heart that is inside of you and I. When our heart is clean, things around us appear the way God wants them to appear. Not only do we need a clean heart, but we need a broken heart. A broken heart. Now, you know, there's one thing that every Christian has to have sometime or another, and that's a broken heart. The Bible tells us the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He says again, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." The best thing that ever happens for some Christian people, and no doubt the best time in everybody's life, is that sometime or another, the Lord take your heart and break it. Now listen, when you have your heart broken, right at that moment, it doesn't seem like the best thing that the Lord could have done. When the Lord breaks your heart, and at the moment when your heart is breaking and aching inside of you, you can't see the good that is in it. But I'll guarantee you, if you've ever suffered a broken heart, and you've clung to God and stayed close to God, that when you got through with that experience, you were a better Christian than you were before. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because your heart gets hard. It gets cold. It gets indifferent. It gets in a place where it can't be moved, where it can't be stirred, where it becomes callous. And no matter what somebody says, or no matter what God says, or no matter what the Word of God says, that heart is never broken. That heart is never humbled. That heart becomes hard, and God doesn't want a bunch of hard-hearted people. He wants a heart that is soft and pliable. He wants a heart that He can work with. He wants a heart that He can do something with. Sooner or later, God will break your heart. You notice everybody in the Bible that God ever used, He had to break their heart sooner or later. Everybody that God used in this Bible, one time in their life, went through something where it destroyed their plans, it destroyed their attitude, it destroyed everything they had. It broke them, it humbled them, it brought them low, and brought them to a place where they could look no way but look up. Sooner or later, God will break your heart. Sooner or later, God will get inside of you. He'll find out what you love, what means the most to you. He'll use that to break your heart. And if you cling to Him and stay close to Him, when you come away from that broken heart, you'll be a better person. You'll be a better Christian than you ever were before. You know, Simon Peter, he got kind of big one time. I mean, he got a little bit big for his britches, as we say. I mean, he got to the point where the Lord came to him and the Lord wanted to wash his feet. Remember that? He said, "No, Lord, you don't wash my feet." And then the Lord explained it to him. He said, "Well, if don't wash, you won't have no part with me." And then Simon said, "Well, give me a bath then. Just get the whole thing." And there was a time when the Lord told Simon, He said, "This night, you're going to betray. All of you are going to betray me." Simon spoke up and he said, "No, sir. No, sir." He said, "No, all of them betrayed you. I'm not." He said, I'm ready to defend you. I'm ready to die for you. As I believe Simon was. Simon was ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon was ready to give up his life. But you know what happened? In that same night, in a 24-hour period, Simon Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Said, I don't know it. I don't know it. Said, you're one of them, your speech betrayeth you. I see you. No, I don't know him. You're wrong. And the last time they asked him, he gets so mad he cusses them. Said, you know what you're talking about. You're blank. What do you mean? And he went on and trying to show them that he wasn't a Christian. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the judgment hall. And he looked at Simon Peter. And the Bible said when he looked at him, that Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know what God did? He broke his heart. He humbled him. And you know why? Because he wanted to use him. Brother, you know the next time you see Simon Peter? You know when you see him? The Lord's asking him about loving him and being in right relation. He said, you love me, Simon? You love me, Simon? You love me, Simon? He said, if you do, feed my sheep. Simon said, I got the message this time, Lord. He said, I got it. You don't believe I do? Just watch me. Acts 2, day of Pentecost. Hey! Boy, I mean, he stands up and gives it to them. Thousands of people come to Jesus Christ because of one message. Who preached it? Simon. Simon. You know what happened to him first? Had to have his heart broken. Had to be brought down. He had to be broken so that God could mend his heart and put it back together. The Bible said he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The Bible said he binds up those that are broken hearted. You know what he had to do to Abraham? I'll tell you what he had to do. He'd break his heart. You know what he told him to do? He said, Abraham, take your son, take your only son, Isaac, and offer him. Abraham couldn't understand it, but he obeyed God. If you don't think Abraham's heart was broken, then you know little about children or loving your children. If God would tell you to take one of your children and offer it as a sacrifice, if it wouldn't break your heart, you're not human. There's something not wrong with you. But you know the Lord? Seeing his obedience. Seeing what he did. And Abraham's heart was broken, but then God used him in a great way. God took his life and used it for him. And you know what? We need to have the Lord to break our hearts. You get going along in this life. You get moving along in the things that you do. And that heart gets set. It gets hard. It gets calloused. It gets cold. The most dangerous thing for a Christian is an indifferent, cold heart. Brother, that's one of the most dangerous things. Sister, that's one of the most dangerous things that will ever happen to you. It's when your heart gets cold and indifferent to the things of God. God have pity on a generation of Christian people that can sit in front of an idiot box and shed tears over make-believe. But when they come to church, they couldn't shed one tear over a lost soul dying and going to hell. God have pity on a bunch of them sit in front of it and laugh their fool heads off. Come to church and something funny said, well, don't laugh in church because you'll be sacrilegious. God have pity on a bunch of hypocrites that can go when it's zero and 80,000 people pack into an auditorium and for 4 hours yell to the top of their voice, freeze their bodies to death, stand up and scream and holler. And then come to church and people say amen and say, did you ever see such fanatics in all your life? Did you ever see such heretics? Did you ever see such nuts? Brother, stick around. You may see a few more of us before it's over. Amen? God have pity on a bunch of people whose hearts have become so cold and indifferent, set to the things of this world, that they can no longer weep and cry and be burdened over the things of God. Brother, a man's well nigh unto death. He's well nigh to the place where God just take him on home. You get in the place where all you're doing is giving lip service to him. The Lord said, these people draw nigh at their mouth. They talk a pretty religion. He said, their lips sure bring forth some nice sounds. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm not looking for mouth and lip service. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But I'm looking inside. I want to see what's down there.
want to see what makes you tick. I want to see what makes you go. I want to see if you really love me. We not only need a broken heart, but we need an obedient heart. An obedient heart. The Bible said in Romans, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. There's an obedience of the heart. You know what the Lord wants? The Lord wants an obedient heart. The Lord wants a heart, and our heart set up in such a way that when the Lord tells us to do something, we'll not question it, but we'll go ahead and do what He's told us to do. Do you know what the Lord did with men in the Bible? He broke their heart, and after their heart was broken, they became obedient to whatever God would tell them to do. You know why? Because they learned. They learned to obey God. They learned that obeying Him was greater than any sacrifice or anything you could ever give. Obedience. Obeying God. Don't you know, now listen to me, don't you know that some of the people in the Bible that were told to do some of the things God told them to do, don't you know they may have second thoughts about doing it? How about on Noah? Amen? Well, you think about that? I think about that. Said, Noah, now you build an ark. Said, why? Said, it's going to rain. Rain? Yes. Never rained before. Going to come down from heaven? Yes. Going to come down. Going to be a flood cover the whole earth. But you know what Noah had? He had a heart that was obedient. Said, I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. But God has told me to do it, and I am going to do it. An obedient heart. That's what God wants. God doesn't want somebody to sit around and argue with Him and question Him. God doesn't want somebody to sit around and try to figure Him out and try to figure out why He's doing it. God wants somebody who will be obedient and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. He wants somebody who will say, yes, Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'll be glad to do it. The Lord's looking for an obedient heart. A heart that is obedient. You know what? He's got to break it so He can make it just like He wants it. And when the Lord breaks your heart and you get on the potter's wheel, then the Lord is able to take your heart and mold it and make it obedient. You find in the Bible that many a man, after his heart was broken, became more of an obedient man than he was before. An obedient heart. Something else we need is a forgiving heart. A forgiving heart. Now here's a verse that you may not quote too much, but it's in the Bible. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You say that's in the Bible? You bet it's in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Read it. The Bible said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And you know what He says? He says, when I save you, I forgave everything that you had ever done. Lord said, when I saved you, I forgave every one of your sins. Everything you had done in the past, everything you had done at that time, everything you were going to be doing in the future. He said, I forgave every one of them.
City wrong with my governor who would
not say, now listen,
the hungry and the sick.
If you want to have a heart like my heart,
in a dream of death, they
be tenderhearted. They found and forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm
going
to tell you tonight, you can like it or lump it, believe it or disbelieve it. It doesn't matter to me. I'll tell you what's ruining some of God's people tonight and some of you.
You've got a heart that is just full of unforgiven things. So-and-so did something to you. Well, I may forget, but I'll never forget. Listen, you old backslider. That's part of it, amen? Some of you tonight, listen. This town tonight, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now listen, this town tonight is full of people who are sitting at home or either sitting in a church that they hate to go to because they got something in their heart that they just will not forget. You say, well, Brother Jim, you just don't know what so-and-so did to me. No, and I don't give a flip, amen. I don't care to know! And I'll tell you what, God knows what you did to him. He said, when you come to me, it's all white clean. Forgiven! Gone! Just as I forgive you, you are to forgive other people. And you say, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Do, amen. You know what's wrong with you? You had your feelings out there where they could hit him, amen. Brother McGahee, he just hurt my feelings, something terrible. When you stick him out there, I'll hit him, amen. I'll kick him, I'll get him three times before you get out the door if you want him hit, amen. Sent way out, Dr. Rutman, you know, he just did this to me, and I just don't think I'll ever be able to forgive him. What's the matter? You get the grip? What's the matter? You got something that you can't listen. It'll ruin your life. Listen, man, I've seen people grow old in the Lord. I've seen their face get set, their attitude get set, their heart get set. And they have something in there I'm just never going to forget. I'm just never going to let go of it and die! Miserable!
Put a siege up against Accra,
doing absolutely nothing for God. Why? One little thing a long time ago, somebody did or said, and they've never been able to get over it. Grow up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. Grow up! In the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, so-and-so did this to me. Well, haven't you done quite a bit to other people? Haven't you done quite a bit to them? They say, well, they just, I just don't think I'll ever be able to forgive them for what, well, trouble you got a bad heart. That's your problem. You've got a heart that is not willing to forgive. Be kind. One to another.
For a couple of dinars a pair.
The Lord wants you to have a forgiving heart. The Lord wants you to look at other Christians just as he looks at you. And as he forgives Simon, said, how many times? 70 times 7. Said, how many times has my brother trespassed against me and not forgive him?
I tell thee.
The Lord said, in essence, that every time he asked for forgiveness, you forgive.
Settled forever.
Can you do that?
All the final dispute about who ran Palestine.
Do you do that? How about your heart?
Pope.
You got a forgiving heart?
And the next
you got a heart that's willing to overlook?
Jerusalem will be the
you got a heart that's willing to let the things in the past that are gone, let them go?
And he'll not come to Jerusalem. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
The last kind of heart we need is we need a loving heart.
Revelation chapter 11.
A loving heart.
God,
we need a heart that loves
and divide the land for
the things
Daniel chapter 11,
that God loves.
And come there peaceably with a bow.
We need a heart that learns how to love.
Without any weapons at the time.
You know, learning how to love some of the things that the Lord loves is kind of hard for a lot of Christian people.
And takes over.
But when you get saved and the Lord gives you a new heart, then you begin to love some of the things that the Lord loves. You begin to look at things different.
Now that's something
what you did before. But you know what
all
we
right,
need?
We now turn from the crusade.
We need
the next volume
a loving
study,
heart.
Discuss what we call
the you know the age that we live in, all the emphasis is on your head.
Of soul-winning Bible
amen. I mean, get education. Go to school. Learn. Get it. Get it. Get it. Cram it into your head. Now listen, you can cram all you want into your head.
Reformation.
But if that heart isn't right, it isn't going to do you one bit
God has
of good.
Had his witness in a
let many of us rejoice
a light that shineth in a dark
that it's not all your head,
and the day star
but it is your heart. Amen. The Lord isn't interested in your brains.
Persecution and murder.
You're not going to impress him with how much you know. Amen. I've learned this, and I know this, and I've got this, and I've got this. And you're not going to impress him. You're just making sick. Amen. And I'll tell you what God is after. Give me thy heart, son. That's what he's after. He wants your heart. He wants a loving heart. You know, a man who was known as praying high.
That the Roman Catholic
was a missionary
so
to India, went there, and he loved the people, won some of them to the Lord, but he never did learn the language very good. Couldn't speak the language very good. Fran Hyde had a tremendous heart, but his head and mouth, he couldn't get in gear when he got ready to speak that language. In fact, he was so bad that the mission board was ready to pull him off of the mission field that he was on. And they had a meeting about it there in India, and when they did, they said a representative from the village where Fran Hyde had worked, and the representative was a person who had been saved, and he went to the mission board to beg them to let Hyde stay there. And when all was said and done, the fellow got to say his say, and in the end, he said a strange thing, but yet a great thing. He said, "We pray that you will leave John Hyde here." Because said, if he never speaks well the language of our lips, he speaks the language
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The mission board said, "Well, we couldn't turn down
now this
a request
volume,
like that. If he's getting your heart, then the rest will work out along the way."
And
when I lived in Lebanon, Ohio, pastor of the church, we had three young men in the church.
And the lights were out all over Europe.
Three men who the world calls retarded, mentally ill. What we would say that people that were playing with a full deck.
Now, of course,
they didn't have everything upstairs that they ought to have.
For example,
Kirby,
no reason at all why
Johnny,
no a logical reason, or Christian reason.
Three men who came to church regular, three men, a couple of them were even older than I was. Yet I rejoiced in seeing them come to church
out many years ago.
They always sit right on the front row. Kirby sat there and amen everything I said.
And Dr. Wilkinson,
I said, "Listen, you're going to hell." Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, it didn't matter what I said. It was amen because the preacher said it. At times I would let them sing. Some, well, you think, could they sing? Well, sure they could sing. Sing as good as some of you, amen. Sung from the heart, that's what counted, amen. And I told my people the day ever they got, when they were too big for Herbie and them to sing, they were too big for me to preach, and I'd leave. I said, "You ever got so good you couldn't let them sing?" I said, "You'd be too good for me. I'll be moving on down the road, amen." They would sing, but whenever they sing, all three of them would preach and testify. And old Johnny Wagon, he'd keep his head turned this way, never look at him. He'd just turn this way. And he talked 90 miles. Well, we were there. They lived at a center with other children that were retarded and that. Well, we lived at a center. We try to witness the Lord Jesus Christ, and we try to do the best we can. We pass out tracts and tell about the Lord. They think we're crazy, but we know better than that. I mean, this. You just couldn't believe the thing out of the mouths of babes and suckling. I mean, perfected grace. You couldn't believe it. And he said, "I want you to pray for Herbie." This was the guy speaking. He said, "We've got a television." He said, "He likes to watch the Cincinnati Reds." And said, "I think it's wrong." He said, "We have a little bit of argument about it every now and then." I tell him the television's of the devil, but he said, "He just likes that a little bit." And said, "Just, I mean, going on things that you just couldn't imagine." But I'll tell you one thing that I'll never forget about all three of them. Was every invitation.
So that was wrong.
Every time I give an invitation in my church, Kirby said right up here,
Augustine,
he's the first one to come to the altar
to attend the public shows.
Every time he'd come, I'd get down there and kneel beside him and say, "What's the matter, Herbie?" Tears just be rolling, weeping like a little baby. And he said, "Brother Jim, he said my mom and dad for the
incorporate images,
and they don't know Jesus Christ
of the Eucharist."
And he said, "Brother Jimmy," he said, "I'm just a dumb." He said, "I can't kill him." He said, "Oh, I wish I could get him here." He said, "I know you could kill him." But he said, "I'm just so dumb." He said, "I can't kill him." He said, "I don't want him to go
by the time of Justinian.
I don't want him to die." You know, I found that later on that his mother and father lived 15 miles from where he was. They came to see him twice a year. I showed him more attention and more affection than his father ever showed in this life. But you know what? It didn't matter to him. I asked him one time, I said, "Why don't they come and see you anymore to do, Herbie?" He said, "Oh, they're just busy, Brother Jim." He said, "They've got a life of their own to live.
And he said, I know what I am. And he said, I know they just don't like me coming around. And he would start to cry. But he said, Brother Jim, he said nothing could ever keep me from loving him.
Very typical.
Nothing could ever keep me from praying for
the works of Henry Moore.
He said, I can't stand the thoughts of
the modern scientific groups from California.
Many a time I went home on Sunday afternoon.
The Bible over and over again.
And Nelson said, Lord,
the Bible scientific.
Put in my heart.
The point of testing can be observed.
Put inside of me what he's got.
Epistles are looked upon.
I said, Lord, some people don't know what it is.
Fighting false teaching.
Some people don't know what retarded mental illness
and the result is
all about.
For example,
the world would be a better place.
That is the idea.
Everybody
was private, like
Herbert.
And
you had a heart
hurting yourself and denying yourself.
You know what God
was
said?
Was found in the Nietzschean sect.
Give me.
But Origen was a violent ascetic. He castrated himself.
Our heads were
and yet he was accepted by many years as Orthodox. And we read by James Orr that Origen holds a strict...
Lord's not after your money.
...of inspiration.
He'll take it
now
if you'll give it to him and he'll use it.
By the Catholic Church,
and he'll get by without your money.
Denied Origen...
The Lord's not after your looks.
...the praise of the Virgin of Guadalupe.
The Lord's not after your intelligence.
You're getting hunting heretics. You're
he's not after your brain. I'll tell you what he's after. He's after your heart.
John R. Rice classifying Pete Rutherford.
He wants your heart.
Garner Ted
God wants you to have a clean heart.
Why Rice taught the Bible.
I want you to have a heart that's
Adam.
Free of sin.
You talk about a heresy.
Clean.
There's one. Rice
God wants you to have a heart that's broken.
Worried about dying.
Not that God
feminine prayed he wouldn't die.
Is happy when your heart is broken.
You talk about heresy.
But because
man,
God knows that a broken heart is good for you.
Origin was
God wants your heart to beat you.
Until the time of Justinian,
he wants your heart to be
a heretic and all his teaching condemned.
Beloved, God wants your heart to be a loving heart.
Post-millennial
I tell you, I wish tonight
the coming of Christ was not condemned.
If some of the brains in this world
also his
had a heart like old Herbie had,
a priest was retained as Orthodox.
I've often prayed, and I've often thought, and I'll never forget
they condemned the ones that didn't fix
I can see him today as clear as I could ever see him then.
Novatius arraigned on charges of murder.
I can see him every time he gave an invitation.
Developed a heresy.
And every time he was in church, I can see him coming to me.
And
cry.
Later in history as an evangelical power in the
he looked up to me and cried and hugged my neck, and he said, oh, Brother Jim.
And coupled with the Novation heresy.
He said, my mom and dad, they just got to get saved.
Salvation only in the church.
He said they just got to get saved. Said I can't stand to think about them going
that
way.
He said we'd be heretics and heresies. We suddenly discover that
I
what
pray
the Roman Catholic
people.
Church calls a heresy is somebody
but I
who
count it such a privilege to
kneel
and pray.
Was
such a great
one church is on the Catholic historian.
Great, not because of my mind or ability to talent to look.
The heretic may have gotten wrong on.
Because
and then magnify
that just so pliable and soft.
A good example is the people who attacked the King James Bible for translating.
Easy, and God could deal with it.
When it should have been
God give us
out
of those hearts,
according to them.
Tonight,
that is, they are the
not just lip service. Mouth,
Tychonius,
but a heart that's pleasing. With my father tonight,
under the label of
I pray that you take this message and speak them.
Yet Augustine,
the heart of every person that's here,
while arguing against
Donald Lord, I want a heart that's right.
The Council of Carthage.
I want a heart that's clean, Lord.
They condemn.
I don't want this sin. I don't want the things that are in it to stand between me and
you. And yet these
I want it clean.
Were incorporated into the Roman Catholic Church.
Lord, when the time comes and I need it, you deem it best. I want you to break it. Lord, you've broke it before. You've left me empty of all this life he could afford. But Lord, as long as I clung to you, came away a better man than I ever was before.
Now this
Lord, I want an obedient heart.
Becomes the more
I want a heart that doesn't question, that just says yes to you.
And from irony of forward tradition,
Lord, I want a heart that's
forgiven.
Lord, when you say
the Old Testament, as of
you forgave so much,
Paul, James, and John, and
you overlooked so much, you just blotted out all that was
there.
You said, I'll remember them no more. God, give me a heart like that toward other people around me.
Gonna have to look primarily.
Give me a forgiving heart. Give me a heart. Doesn't hold grudge.
By the middle of
doesn't keep
middle
things down in there and cling to
it. Reaching the Catholic Church was at the Mary had been given.
Lord, give me a loving heart.
That's the doctrine of Peter Damiani, a cardinal and a bishop.
Take my heart and make it
the
way you'd have it to be.
The people, published 1898. The Catholics that had
blessed this invitation.
Rome,
Lord, there's one here tonight that's not saved. Let me be saved. Lord, there's one here tonight that's got a heart that's black for sin. Never been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May they see that their religion, their righteousness is enough. That's not the problem. Problems are heart. Problems inside. They need a new heart. May we get it tonight. Speak to your people. Have your way in their heart. In Jesus' name I pray.
The Trinitarians, the Templars,
let's stand together.
The Benedictines, and God knows
388. 388.
And people confessing their sins to the priest. That was
sing just a few verses of the invitation tonight.
Orthodox.
You're here and lost.
The Italian priest.
Without the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't heard anything that I've said. You listen to what I'm saying now. You don't need a religion. You don't need baptism. You don't need sacraments. You need a new heart. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to take your heart and wash it clean. You need to have him take that blood, apply it, make it clean tonight. And Christian, don't ever get to the place where the Lord can't touch your heart and deal with you. Don't ever let your heart get into such a state where God can't reach forth and touch it. When he touches it, it means something to you. May God give us tonight the kind of heart he'd have us to have. 388, we sing on the first one. Have vinyl on the first verse.
Roman Catholic Church.
Lord, spoken you've got, will you? Lost sinner, let him have his way, will you? Christian, how about your heart? Is it clean? Lord spoke to you. Come, sing on the third one.
Have thine own way.
Let him have his way. His way is always best. Say yes to him, will you? That heart, get it right. Keep it right. Bow our heads, we'll just the instruments placed softly with Terry. Just a minute while these are praying.
We told you on page number one in this series.
And I trust that if your heart is right, you'll pray. And I trust an important time like this, an invitation, that you give respect to God. And if you're right, don't keep somebody else from getting right. Don't be a distraction.
A convert. The people who follow him are called Montanists. And the hell is he called?
About your heart. How is it tonight?
M-O-N-T-A-N.
Clean.
Montanism.
Obedient, forgiving, and loving. You tell me tonight the things that you love and the things that you hate, and I'll tell you in 5 seconds what kind of a person you are. That's what will determine. Well, we can do a lot of talking, say a lot of fine words. We can spiel off a lot of beautiful things, but I'll tell you what, it comes right down to it. You and God. Your heart. Its relationship to God. As a Christian, that's the secret of it. As they say, that's where it's at. That's what it's all about. Is your heart right tonight?
Oh, anybody?
If not, come and pray. You're lost. Never been saved. I pray. If you'll come, I'm going to sing the last verse. This will be the last verse. If you're lost, need to come. You're saved. Come. On the last one.
Thank you.
Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight. We're needy people. We need you, Lord. We need you every second of every hour of every day. Lord, we want to do what's right. Lord, we have a desire to do what's right. Lord, we pray that you would work on our hearts. Keep us in a right relationship with thee so we can do what's right. Lord, I pray for everyone that came and held this altar tonight. You know the reason they came. You know why they were here and praying. You know what it was that's troubling them or bothering them or what they wanted to pray to you about. And I pray that you'd give them victory. Lord, we sang that wonderful song, Victory in Jesus. Lord, may everyone that came realize that victory is in Jesus Christ. Lord, when we keep our hearts and our relationship between you and us right, victory can be ours. Be tonight with that lost sinner in this building that's never been saved. Speak to them. Lord, I pray that you'd deal with their heart, not only now, but tonight and in days to come, and show them their need of being saved. Bless this message tonight. Lord, may each one receive the word of God gladly. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone.
Amen.
Lord, bless you and good night.